Welcome to the Rent to Retirement Podcast, your resource for passive real estate investing and retirement strategies. If you're new to real estate or planning your financial future, you're in the right place. Join us at renttoretirement.com to find your path to financial freedom and an easy, carefree retirement. Enjoy the show.
Hey, Rent to Retires, it's Adam Schrader here with another episode. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you might think, oh my goodness, that's a lot of people. But we are joined today by Zach Leemaster, the CEO of Rent to Retirement. And we're joined today by Corey, an investment strategist here at Rent to Retirement. And we're joined by one of our investors, James. James, it's a pleasure having you on.
Yeah, thanks again for having me, guys. Pleasure to
Absolutely.
Be here.
So we like to showcase regular people, not the I have a 1,000 doors in, you know, 12 months type thing. We want to hear from people who are buying just regular homes and moving forward with it. So tell us, how long ago did you get started and what was your first investment that you got?
So I probably started around 5 years ago. I didn't initially get started with turnkey rentals, but I was basically moving around. The military was moving me around and I was kind of into that forced landlord situation. So I was kind of in that scenario where I was surrounded by people who were entrepreneurs. You know, they wanted to start their own business and get into real estate. So I thought this would be a good opportunity for the military to kind of move me and turn where I lived into a rental and its own experiment. And so I got, you know, kind of deep into that in San Antonio. And then after that, just got so busy that I kind of stumbled upon your guys's company. And I talked with a few people who were doing it with you guys and just got hooked. So my first investment property, I think it was about 3 years ago when I first got started. But a lot of them were kind of just the build to rent model. So they haven't been constructed yet. So I think the first one that came into actually operating was my, I think, fourth or fifth deal with you guys. So it was kind of all over the place.
James, we definitely want to dive into to know like exactly what your portfolio looks like right now, both from a like stuff you've invested through the Rent to Retirement Network, but also kind of anything else you've done as well. It'd be good to get a snapshot of what that looks like. But before we do that and dive deeper, can you just talk us through the mindset of like, okay, it sounds like you found yourself in an accidental landlord situation. You know, your military is moving around every 3 or 4 years or whatever it is potentially. But what was a mindset? Like what made you decide that, hey, like the turnkey route specifically was a good fit for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, from the beginning, as you know, pretty much like everyone, I didn't really know a whole lot about real estate. And the one thing I didn't have a whole lot of was time. I was kind of going through a lot of training for work and you know, I'm a physician, so I'm just kind of doing my thing, and I needed to kind of rely on some expertise while also getting some book knowledge myself, you know, diving into podcasts, blogs, books. But ultimately I needed a team that was competent and could guide me through the process, and so that I could repeat it. And so that's kind of what made me get in that mindset of I still want to do real estate, but I don't know if I can just juggle my time to the point where, you know, the real estate building up the portfolio could kind of handle. So that's why I kind of turned into I kind of stumbled upon the turnkey model. I liked what I saw, but ultimately it had to be a really good team that I felt comfortable with. So because they were going to be my eyes and ears, so to speak. So that was pretty important to me.
Awesome. And what does your portfolio look like right now as far as stuff that you currently have or projects that are ongoing?
Yeah, so I'm currently at 11 properties. I have two in Texas, just onboarded the five in Alabama. And then I have four in Florida. And I think one of them is in the process of being built.
I love it. And James, you know, we talk frequently, so we email frequently. As far as, you know, what your expectation was and, you know, what you're getting? I mean, how do you feel that this has kind of benefited the way you said you wanted to come in and be a little bit more hands-off? How do you feel that like this turnkey model in rental retirement has kind of helped you?
Yeah, so far it exceeded my expectations. And, you know, I kind of come into everything, you know, with skeptical eyes. That's why I always want to talk with people who have done it before me. But I know just in the end, you know, that's their story. There could, you know, be a different story altogether. And I kind of went into that, you know, situation knowing that, you know, not everything is similar. But just from the start to the finish, pretty hands off, but you know, enough that, you know, I needed to still do my due diligence, and you guys have kind of pushed that as well. So it's not just like me handing you guys the keys and then, you know, looking at a picture at the end. So it was, I feel like it exceeded my expectations. Sure, there's, you know, road bumps along the way, but you know, that's really what you kind of come into when you're working with different teams and different people in different markets. So it's just, that's how it is, but so far so good.
Now, one of the things you mentioned is, you know, you're a physician, the time part is there. What, just out of curiosity now, since you're doing this, how much time would you say a month you're actually spending on your real estate portfolio?
I would probably put that at about 3 hours right now. The majority of that is just, I'm kind of doing my own bookkeeping. I send emails to property management companies maybe once a month just to check in and things like that. But a lot of the property management companies do send out their, you know, monthly updates and stuff. So I don't feel the need to kind of bother them too much about it. But yeah, I would say about 3 hours.
I want to spend a lot of time, James. I think really and thank you for coming on here. I think we, as we talked before that we hit the record button, we want to hear from more actual people on the ground, like doing this, right? Like, what does the process look like? What are some of the challenges you've experienced? What advice do you have for someone considering getting into this? And I think that will be really beneficial for people to relate to you. I know that when I'm listening to educational content, like I want to hear from someone that I can kind of envision myself in their shoes, or they're at the right kind of a similar point in life to me. I think that's where I get the most value. And we know that it's being relatable is really important. And so I want to get into the mindset a lot, because you're a medical professional, you're a doctor, you have this career path that's very demanding, and probably not one you're going to hang up the white coat with and just be done with, right? At least not anytime soon. But let's back up a second and think just like big picture. Like why real estate? You know, what is the thing that caught your bug in real estate investing in general? And why did you decide that out of all the different areas that you can invest in, and I'm sure you probably do some other investing as well, but you're on a strong path to building a very successful rental portfolio. You said you're at 11 doors now, but mm-hmm. What were some of the reasons like to step outside of the norm and invest in real estate to begin with?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it really just started in residency. I had a couple of friends do real estate, and they've been talking about their success stories, where their money is making money. But not only that, is they're owning an asset that, you know, gives you so many tangible benefits in many different aspects, you know, tax benefits, appreciation, loan pay down, and then, you know, the cherry on top, cash flow. I always thought that was very intriguing to me, because I was, I grew up, you know, in school, you work hard, and then because of that work, you get a paycheck. And that didn't really change in residency. I think it actually got a little worse. You know, you have to work really hard, you know, and then in training, it's a little paycheck. So that kind of fueled the fire. I'm like, there's got to be more to this. But yeah, you're right, Zach. I do other investments, but real estate by far has been, the one that has been shining, just because I'm seeing over 2 or 3 years, you know, the loan pay down, the tax benefits and appreciation, and then a little bit of cash flow. So I'm seeing this with my actual eyes. And once you see it with your eyes, you kind of want to get the next one and to see if it goes more. So, I've always loved what I do. I will continue doing what I do until they kick me out or something. But so I always kind of fall on that is I'm always going to work in some capacity, but I do want that passive income, you know, to kind of shape the way I want to live my life, earlier rather than later. And, you know, one day down the road, if my kids want to, you know, jump in and see what I'm doing all the time, you know, it's a avenue for me to teach them to get into business and get them bit by the bug early. So
I love that. I absolutely love that. Yeah. And I think that the more you like learn about real estate, and which is a lifelong journey, in my opinion, it's not like, in my opinion, real estate is not something like you're ever done with. And to your exact point, like this stuff you want to teach and to your kids and pass on to future generations, and like your friends and family and colleagues and inner circle of like people you care about, you want to share that knowledge with them so they can take steps to obtain the same benefits. And it's not easy. Let's be clear about that. We're going to get into like the issues, even in turnkey investing, like real estate, it's not easy. If it was, everyone would be doing it. But I do think that it offers the best opportunity to really get ahead, right? To make your money work for you and to be a smart investor. We call real estate the ideal investment. And that talks about, that's an acronym for all the ways we're growing wealth. You have your I for income, which is your cash flow, D for depreciation and tax benefits, E for equity growth as the tenant pays the loan down for you, A for appreciation, of course, and L using leverage to really to scale your portfolio. Like there's no other investment out there that comes close combining all those things. And that's why we love real estate. And yeah, once you get the bug and you start to see it, it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. But man, if you can commit to like just a few intentional years of investing and just stay in the course, like you can create a lifetime worth of income, you know, but it does take some work. So,
right. And I think that's kind of what made it sweeter, is that it wasn't an immediate, you know, reward, because you put in all the hard work and then you kind of wonder for a little bit, there's this lull. And then after a couple of years, you start to see it and it's like, that was worth it. I trust myself a little bit more now with my gut.
Awesome. And James, you've gotten to take advantage of a lot of different opportunities. I feel like every time we get a new market, that's a new construction, which seems to be, you know, one of your strategies. What's kind of drawn you to choosing some of the places that you've chosen so far?
Pretty much knowing that those markets are performing pretty consistently above expectations. And like you said, I like to do different markets to diversify, to mitigate some risk. I just kind of stumbled upon the new constructions, and I like, you know, where you start fresh and you don't have to put too much into the deals, you know, in terms of repairs and things. So I like that buffer, you know, getting started. I want to feel really comfortable with the infrastructure that, you know, I'm getting into. And you know, with new builds, new areas, you know, it attracts, you know, a lot of tenants. So I felt comfortable that would be, you know, the shallow end for me, jumping into that niche. So.
And on that note, so you've invested a lot in what we would call growth markets, at least for the vast majority with your own investing and with our network. That's mainly in the Sun Belt, where you have a lot of population growth. So this is new construction, which I agree with you 100%. New construction is a great investment to be in, where you have more predictable returns, less maintenance, probably better appreciation and rental growth year after year. However, it is more expensive usually, so more money down. Although you did take advantage of the creative option in Alabama, which I do want to dive into a little bit to talk about like the mindset with that. But so that's kind of the trade-off here, is it's more money to invest, and sometimes there's more variability. You're doing also some ground up construction, which that's kind of like advanced theory investing, which has a lot more variability in it, but and more risk, but also potential more reward, right? Because of ability to come into more equity. So there's some more variability with some new construction, at least to get it to the point of completion. But I think you see the benefit long term. I certainly like new construction, and over the years I've tended to purchase more new construction, just because like long term it's just less headache, you know, less and more predictability and better upside. But let's talk a little bit, maybe dive into the Alabama stuff. So this is a scenario, and depending on, this may not even be an option depending on when people listen to this, but at least right now it is relevant, where you can come in and purchase multiple new construction houses with well, and it's always evolving. And at one point it was no money down and 100% financing. And then the bank stopped doing that. And now we're at 95% loan to value. But the kind of the general concept is there's investor loans that you can purchase with less money down than your traditional, like Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac product, where you're putting 20, 25% down. So that means you get to stretch your capital further to buy more doors, but also this likely means that properties are negative cash flow, as you would expect when you're putting less money down. But sure, this is an area to stretch your capital further and acquire more real estate. Can you walk us through the mindset of like, why does that make sense to do, at least for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I had to talk it a little bit more in depth with my wife, because this is a little bit more, you know, off the beaten path in terms of investing. But what I found particularly attractive about this was it was sort of a deferred down payment, you know, spread out, you know, if you looked at it that way, because you are, like you said, you are expecting that negative cash flow because you're putting nothing into the deal. However, my mindset was, number one, I didn't need the cash flow in year one or year two or year five. I love my job. I'm going to continue to work. So I'm not going to lose sleep over that. What I wanted to make sure was that it was appreciating. It was, you know, everyone liked this area. They were great houses, had a good team behind it. And if I knew all those boxes were checked, I said, this is a good 10-year investment, 20-year investment, because I'm in the long-term buy and hold game. I'm not there to make a quick buck. You know, and then do more active work. I want passive as can be, as safely as can be. And with these Alabama deals, you know, after talking with the boots on the ground, I felt really comfortable with them. So it really just became like, what's my next step? What's my, you know, who do I need to talk to get this going? And everything was pretty streamlined. They said, you know, start with the loan application, and then we'll set you up with someone to talk to. And after going through all that process, the mindset was, let's let these kind of, you know, marinate a little bit, you know, for a few years. And, you know, it being in a portfolio loan, and it's gaining equity and appreciation over a few years, there's always the option to refinance and then put it into a more cash flow position. So that could be year five, that could be year eight, or it could be year four, whatever. I'm going to keep eyes on it annually and see when the time is right to actually refinance, all while putting, you know, very little money into the deal. And the other mindset was, you know, I also want to diversify. You know, I don't want everything just cash flowing. I want some, you know, kind of early players into the game where appreciation comes into play, and then cash flow will kind of go in on the tail end. So I thought the Alabama market was pretty good for that.
Yeah. I think you're really smart to have that long-term picture. And certainly, I mean, if you kind of run the numbers, which I encourage everyone to do and actually go through the math, that's like why we built out this new wealth tracker, on that we're just allowing people to use for now for free, is just like, it allows you to project in the future for future potential performance, because we all know that pro formas are just an evaluation of year one.
Tracker, by the way, it's really cool.
Good. No, that's awesome. I mean, that's, thank you for that. And I know it's in its beta version. We got a lot of little errors, some kinks to work out, but I mean, we honestly just had that built for our own personal use, so we can future project, because we could not find a calculator out there where it's like, okay, we can do a pro forma on year one, but that, it's like year one is year one. What about year five and 10, factoring in the amortization scale with the pay down, whatever appreciation you want to put in there, expense increase, rental increase, like that's how you can really, and when you look at the numbers, it kind of speaks for you. But I love that you walk through the mindset, and thank you for that, because sometimes I'll make the statements that like cash flow doesn't matter, or things like this, and people come after me with the pitchforks about like, why would I ever buy something negative cash flow? But like, big picture, wealth long-term is not created through cash flow in real estate. It's created through all the other things, right? Tax benefits, appreciation, debt pay down, and so on, and growing your portfolio.
Well, I kind of see it, you know, in any profession, you know, you take out lots of money for loans, and in the moment it doesn't make sense, but 10 years down the road, and you look back and you're like, that made sense. So Same with cash flow. It's great when you have it day one, but that's not the only strategy. So
yeah, James is there going, why did I just take out hundreds of thousands in student loans to work 120 hours a week?
Luckily, the Army helped me out a little bit with that. So that was a shout out to them.
HBSP, right? That's what you're on?
Yeah, HBSP. Yeah.
So what's next for you? I mean, are you just going to sit there and let it marinate, or are you going after more properties? What's next for you?
Well, I've been thinking about that. I think I'm still in the growth phase. I like the momentum that I'm doing, but I think the thing that I have to be careful with is, you know, what's my goal? What's my destination? It's not just to get properties, but really just change the way I live. So I did that whole method, you know, work backwards, where you see yourself. And then I just said, how many, you know, rental properties does it take for me to get there? And then what I do is I just add a little buffer in there, just, you know, because I kind of want to travel. I don't just want to eat and have my utilities stay on. So, you know, I put in a buffer there, but my plan is just every year, at least get one. Once I hit that number though, I can kind of take the foot off the gas pedal a little bit. And, you know, I kind of see my journey as it's kind of like a slinky, you know, you kind of leverage yourself to the point and then there's a lot of tension in the back end. So, what we've kind of decided was, you know, just look at what my portfolio looks like and which are the key players that would be most beneficial to pay off and reduce that risk a little bit, just so we can have a little more free end on the front side to push more and get more rental properties. So, I've been told as long as I bring that back end, you know, closer to the front end, I can continue with the front end later on. So
are you referring to your wife telling you, is it?
I cannot confirm or deny.
let's talk about that though real quick, because I think a lot of people, you know, it's really important if you have a spouse or just an investing partner in general, like you need to be on the same page. It doesn't work. Like the goal is to be, you know, be excited about and confident about what you're investing in. And sometimes that's an uphill battle more so for some people. What advice do you have or any insight into having those difficult discussions with your spouse on, you know, what you're doing financially and things you shared with them to make them feel more comfortable?
I don't think you have to be on the same page with your partner or spouse, but if you want to be successful, do it for a long time, be good at it and have fun doing it, then I highly encourage that. So, but I think one of the things that is super important, especially for like, you know, personalities that are more conservative, is make sure you talk with your spouse and say, what would make you comfortable before we jump in? And 10 times out of 10, they'll tell you. I know for me personally, it was to stay away from consumer debt, you know, and we made a personal decision to pay off our home. And I was always under that, you know, mantra, you know, it's funner to play outside after all your homework is done. So I conceded and I said, okay, let's get all of these cleaned up. And then we can be a little more risky. So,
yeah, I like that. I don't know if I've talked about this with my own wife, but she sometimes less so now, but at least definitely in the beginning, it was like the Shark Tank presentation of deals and why I wanted to do them. You know,
so familiar.
Yes, but I always was successful, and I like broke down the numbers, right, and looked through like the rationale of, like you said, reverse engineer where you want to be, and like the big picture why, but then also concrete, like, look at the numbers, look at worst case scenario, right? And look at also a really optimistic view. And then somewhere in between is probably reality, and base your decision rationally on those numbers. But yeah, definitely want to make sure you're on the same page with the spouse. And that's good practice for pitching future deal partners too, I think.
So. Yeah. And like you said, just starting with like paint what your life, what you want it to look like with your partner, with your spouse. That way you kind of bring them into the picture. If you're just talking about what you want to do later on, doesn't really tug on them as
Excellent
much.
Excellent point. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So James, what advice do you have to give anybody looking to get started?
Well, the first one that's been kind of hit on the head so many times is actually do something, get that first property. That's the biggest hurdle. It's all mental. And one way I found myself to kind of get around that, or get help through that, is just ask the person that you are talking with during the deal, like, what am I supposed to expect from start to finish, from A to Z? I want tangible things, like actual physical things that I'm waiting on. And then after that, what should I be expecting after that? Once you get the general picture, the timeline of, you know, the purchase of a rental property, you start to understand what to expect next. And then the nerves calm down and the uncertainty kind of tends to fade to a lull. So that would be my first advice. But the second one I would say is always ask questions early and not too late. So, you know, just for example, if you have a property management company that you're just not comfortable with, that you don't feel like they're doing something, you know, reach out to you guys and just say, hey, I'm having an issue with this. And then it quickly gets on the path of getting resolved. And you don't want it to get too far in just because you're afraid to ask a question. And with those questions, you can kind of piece together when, you know, when that plays into the timeline exactly. And then I would say probably the third one, and probably most important, is when you're actually into the deal, is have those cash reserves. Figure out that number that you need to feel comfortable. It's the antidote, you know, to turn bad sleep into good sleep at night, and particularly, like, you know, your spouse or partner. It makes the ride much smoother, and a smoother ride makes for a great, you know, experience for the next one. So cash reserves are super important to have. And that usually means, you know, you can't scale too fast. You have to factor in those just sitting there, and then you move on to the next one. So pace yourself, but, don't go too slow. Don't go too fast. You'll know what that is after, you know, you go through your first deal, but you can't get that first deal until you, you know, get off the couch. So.
All right. Well, James, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time. For everybody, you know, head on over to renttoretirement.com and you will see the inventory that we've got that James and Corey will be talking about at some point in the not too distant future, I'm sure, as they plan out the next step of his journey. That's renttoretirement.com. And don't forget, if you want a copy of the top 20 markets to invest in 2023, well, first off, you're getting towards the middle to end of 2023, so you need to get going. But you can get a copy of that by emailing podcasts@renttoretirement.com. That's podcasts@renttoretirement.com. Really appreciate the time you spent educating yourself today. We'll talk to you on the next episode.